بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Respected friends and elders, Alhamdulillah, once again we find ourselves on an odd night. Tonight being the 25th night of Ramadan, it could potentially also be Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, the most significant and important night of the year. Laylatul Qadr was the night that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used and selected and chose for the revelation of Quran. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. When commencing the surah Qadr, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Laylatul Qadr to the ummah, the first statement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, the first introduction is, it is the night that Allah selected for the revelation of the Quran. In other words, that is sufficient for us to understand how great a night this is. Because the Quran is Kalamullah, the greatest of the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no other book of Allah that could match the Kalam of Allah, the Quran Kareem. So from the greatest of the books of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected from all the nights of the year, the night of Qadr for the revelation of Quran. The Mufassirun explain what is meant by Quran being revealed on the night of Qadr. When we have learned that Quran was revealed over a period of 23 years, Quran was revealed gradually, you know, in intervals. That is one fundamental difference between the Quran Sharif and the other books. The other books like the Torah and the Zabur and the Injil, they were revealed at once. Daf'atan wahida. It was given to the Nabi in a form of a tablet. Everything in one collection at once. But the Quran was revealed gradually over a period of 23 years, wherein it linked up to the practical lives of the Sahaba and the Muslims. So that is what we have learned. So what is meant by the Quran was revealed on Laylatul Qadr? This is referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's revelation of Quran from the Lawh-e Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah. Baytul Izzah is the name of the first sky. Baytul Izzah is positioned on the first sky. So from the Lawh-e Mahfuz to the first sky of the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran at once. And thereafter, over a span of 23 years, whenever Jibreel alayhi salam was instructed to bring any particular verse to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would bring it from Baytul Izzah. He would bring it from the first sky down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you look at it in reality, the Quran enjoyed both types of revelation. One complete revelation, but that was not to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather to the first sky. And then the second form of revelation, which was unique to Quran, and that is the one that lasted and spanned the period of 23 years. The beginning of revelation of Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also took place in the month of Ramadan. Some ulama explain. The Quran says, Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah starts off his Bukhari Sharif with a very unique chapter, a chapter that is not found in the other books of hadith. And that is the chapter of Babun Kayfa Kana Badul Wahyi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did Wahyi commence? How and what were the circumstances? And what was the incident of the first revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And under this chapter, the third hadith that Imam Bukhari rahimahullah quotes is the most detailed hadith pertaining to this topic. And that is the hadith that explains to us how wahi had started, how wahi had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha says, أول ما بدأ به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الرؤية الصادقة في المنام. That the first form of wahi that began to come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was obviously at the age of 40, right at the beginning of nubuwwat, it was wahi that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam via dreams that he would see. فكان لا يرى رؤيا إلا جاءت مثل فلق الصبح. Any dream he began to see, he would see it realizing exactly like he saw it. In other words, the dreams started becoming very, very true. He would be shown things crystally clear in his dream, what is going to happen, and then he would visualize it thereafter and see it happening. Ulama explained that this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the anbiya to the alam of wahi, to the world of wahi, to the world of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the system that Allah used for all the anbiya alayhimu salatu wa salam. Alqama rahimahullah says that the system of Allah is that every Nabi first received wahi via seeing true dreams. No contact with an angel, no other form of wahi began to come. Rather, it would commence with this 6-month period of seeing good dreams and true dreams. Inna awhayna ilayka kama awhayna ila Nuhin wan nabiyyin min ba'di. We revealed to you in the same manner that we sent revelation to Nuh alayhi salam, the first Nabi after Adam alayhi salam, and every other Nabi thereafter. So it was the same system that they would first see true dreams. And seeing true dreams is something that was left also for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That alhamdulillah, Allah blesses us also from time to time that we can see dreams thereafter which realize themselves and become true. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has left for the ummah. Al-mubashirat. These are things that are there to give us glad tidings, to reassure us, to raise our spirits. That when a person sees this true dream or a good dream about his fellow Muslim, or somebody who sees a good dream about you, then this is a way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reinforces the iman of the mu'mineen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's initial period of wahi was receiving dreams and wahi via dreams. ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَىٰ Sayyidah Aisha says, thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made seclusion appealing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Going into seclusion, going into khalwat, separating himself from the people and from the wrong that was taking place. Khala and khalwat and seclusion was made appealing to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because Makkah was filled with shirk. 360 idols. They had an idol for every need that they wanted was a separate idol. And disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala together with the other wrongs that were taking place. So when a person is in an environment like that, when a person is in an environment of sin, of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in an environment that is un-Islamic, then he ought to leave that environment. We have to leave places like that because remaining there will affect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created that system of khalwat also for us in different ways. We leave our families, we leave our businesses, we leave the surroundings outside and come into the masjid, come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5 times a day. 5 times a day we seclude ourselves also from the ill and the wrong and the sin and the harm that is all widespread outside. This is also a system of khala, a khalwat, seclusion, that we leave that mahol and we come into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seclude ourselves here in the house of Allah, in the place of hidayat, in an environment of deen, so that we can recharge ourselves, so that we can get the sins forgiven, sins that came upon us whilst we were interacting with people outside. And then we go back, and then we come again for Zuhur Salah, back into khalwat in the house of Allah, and then again. In the time of Ramadan, the last 10 nights, the sunnah i'tikaf takes place. There is also a period of khalwat, a period of seclusion, to seclude ourselves from whatever the distractions outside and the sins that are taking place outside. Those that cannot spend the entire 10 days and nights in i'tikaf are encouraged during these 10 days and especially the odd nights to seclude themselves in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or in one corner in their homes and make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we go into seclusion and dedicate that time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the benefit of that ibadah that we take place is immense. Because we have given up everything else. We have given up all the other luxuries of ours, or temptations, or entertainment, and whatever else it may be. And now you are dedicating it only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَىٰ فَكَانَ يَدْخُلُ فِي غَارِ حِرَىٰ. He used to go to the cave of Hira, in the outskirts of Makkah. وَكَانَ يَتَحَنَّثُ فِيهِ الْلَيَالِيَ ذَوَاتِ الْعَدَدِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to spend many nights in the cave of Hira, meditating, pondering over the ni'mat of Allah and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and engaging in acts of ibadah in accordance to the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because up to that time, there was no deenul Islam that was formally revealed. So our ibadah that we now practice, all of that was not in vogue at that time. So whatever were the forms of ibadah in the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the remains of that was still present in Makkah, and there were people still practicing on that. So that was the form of ibadah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to engage in the cave of Hira. And he would spend many nights, sometimes up to 1 month, sometimes more. وَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِذَلِكَ. And he would take his provisions. So he doesn't have to keep coming back into Makkah for his meals, etc. He would take provisions that would last him. And when those provisions used to finish, he would come back and come back to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, his wife, and then take more provisions and go back. Sometimes Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha used to go herself to go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the cave. She would take the provisions for him whilst he would remain there in the cave of Hira, engaged in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was in the cave of Hira on one such occasion, secluding himself from the inner environment that was created in Makkah. And إِذْ جَاءَهُ الْحَقِّ. When the truth and the angel Jibreel alayhi salam then comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then explains, and he says that Jibreel alayhi salam came فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِي. Firstly, Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of a human at that time. And he came in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he tells me, Iqra, recite. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not educated. He was ummi, he was uneducated, unlettered. He could not read or write. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Ma ana biqari'in, I cannot recite. So Jibreel alayhi salam, فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِي. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Jibreel alayhi salam, he embraced me and he squeezed me. He squeezed me so much, فَغَطَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهْدِ. Until I was extremely drained, he squeezed me so much. And then he released me and he says, اقرأ, recite. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said, مَا أَنَا بِقَارِئٍ. At this time, some ulama mentioned that it's possible this time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant, I will not read. I will not read. First he said, I cannot read. Second time he said, I will not read. I will not read because I don't know how to read. Again, Jibreel alayhi salam embraced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he squeezed him like the first time until Rasulullah sallam says, حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهْدِ. Until I was extremely drained and tired by that. He squeezed me so hard. And then he tells me for the third time, Iqra, recite, read. Again Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded, Ma ana biqari'in. This time some ulama explained what Nabi Sallam meant here was, what should I read? First he said, I cannot read, I will not read. Now it was, what should I read? And then Jibreel alayhi salam then recites, Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Those were thereafter the first verses of Quran to be revealed. The first contact with this earth or with this ummah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first contact between the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, and Quran and Kalamullah and the wahi from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this form was with these words, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Why did Jibreel alayhi salam squeeze Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This hadith, ulama go into a lot of detail on each sentence of this hadith. This part here, there are a few explanations. Some ulama have mentioned that this was to get the full attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When somebody needs to learn, then you want his full attention. Somebody comes to learn. And obviously, depending how important that knowledge is or that information is that you are going to share, that's how much of attention you are going to require from the listener. So to get the full attention of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that he doesn't pay attention to anything else, Jibril alayhi salam performed this act on him of embracing him and squeezing him so much that he forgets everything else and only focuses on Jibril alayhi salam. Because what he was going to receive, divine wahi and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, demanded complete attention and focus. Some ulama have explained that this was to transfer the spiritual qualities from Jibreel alayhi salam into the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We know many a time the ulama in tasawuf and in the spiritual reformation speak about the transfer from heart to heart. So the first transfer took place at that time. The transfer from Jibreel alayhi salam into the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And a third explanation that is given is that this was to demonstrate that to receive wahi and to receive this ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowledge from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one has to undergo sacrifice and strain. One needs to drain himself and undergo mujahada. Then ilm will come. Because after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was strained and drained three times by being squeezed by an angel, the strength of an angel, respected friends and elders, and among the greatest and the greatest angel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salam, imagine the strength Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. So that strain Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to undergo to demonstrate that after that, three times this happened. And then wahi started, then ilm, he started receiving knowledge from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via the verses اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. So in this dunya as well, to acquire the knowledge of deen, to acquire the knowledge of wahi from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of Quran and hadith, it also needs and demands sacrifice. It demands some effort from our side. It will not come if we are in the lap of luxury. No. Therefore, during the study of deen, the system has been to sit on the floor, to sit in front of the ustad. People make hijrat and they leave their homes, they leave their countries, and they come in front of an alim. There's a lot of sacrifice behind every student that presents himself. Then he is blessed with the ilm of wahi, ilm of Quran, and the nur of Quran, and the nur of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Trying to acquire knowledge of deen within comfort and luxury will not bring the same result and the same effect like it would be when a person makes that mujahada and that sacrifice. And that is the message here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had to undergo this procedure three times of extreme strain on him. And then, so to say, he became eligible thereafter to receive the wahi and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. That recite in the name of your Rabb that has created you. The first five verses of Surah Iqra was revealed. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. In the name of your Rabb that has created you. Khalaq al insana min alaq. He created insan from a piece from a blood clot. Khalaq al insana min alaq. Iqra wa rabbuka al akram alladhi allama bil qalam. Allama al insana ma lam ya'lam. These first five verses of the surah were the first words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be revealed as part of the Quran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the month of Ramadan. This is when it all started. And after this, Jibreel alayhi salam left. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became extremely scared, because this was something completely unusual. This was something that no man had ever experienced. This was completely abnormal for a human. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes back home into Makkah Sharif, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, and he tells her, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me, cover me. In other words, I am terrified. One way to pacify someone when someone is suffering and is going through some trauma, is to put a blanket over him, give him some warmth. This calms a person down. So he says, "Zammiluni, zammiluni, laqad khashitu ala nafsi." I was extremely scared. I was scared as to what will happen to me. I was scared as to what will happen to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meant I was scared that whether I will be able to bear this burden. I was scared whether I will be able to bear the burden of nubuwwat and pass this on to the ummah of to my ummah. Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha understood that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, I feared for my life. Laqad khashitu ala nafsi. So when he explained to her the entire incident, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha then consoled Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha was a unique woman. She was a unique woman. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned she was from my ummah, that one woman who reached kamal and perfection. Kamula min ar-rijali kathirun wa lam yakmul min an-nisa'i illa Maryam ibnatu Imran, Asiyatu imra'atu Fir'aun wa Khadijatu bintu Khuwaylid. From the men, there were many that reached the stage of kamal and perfection in their spirituality, in their aqal and intellect, in their ibadah, in their akhlaq and their character, in their qualities that they possessed. From the women, there were only three. The mother of Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Maryam, the wife of Fir'aun who had accepted Islam, Asiya, and Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha. Here, the maturity of Khadija radiallahu anha becomes manifest, that she begins to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she says, Kalla, never, nothing will happen to you. Don't fear over your life. Lay yukhzik Allahu abada. Allah will never humiliate you. Allah will never allow you to suffer. And thereafter she highlights and she says that you are a possessor of good qualities and good akhlaq. In other words, by virtue of that, Allah Rabbul Izzah will not harm you. So she says, إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِّ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. She highlights four types of akhlaq in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You maintain family ties. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. You bear the burdens for others. In other words, if somebody has a need, then you fulfill their needs for them. You lessen the burdens of others. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ. You are hospitable to the guests. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ. And وَتَكْسِبُ الْمُعْدَمِ in some riwayat. The things of people that cannot earn, people that are unable, you are supporting them. You are supporting people who are unable to earn for themselves. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. And at the time of natural disasters, you are there to assist the people. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, the famous commentator of Bukhari Sharif, mentions that in these qualities, these are the qualities that show perfection of one's character. Because akhlaq and good character means to be an asset to those around you. That is akhlaq. To be good to those around you. Those around you, either they are your family or they are strangers. And she mentioned Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one who maintained family ties, so he was kind to his family and guests, and in natural disasters and calamities he was kind to people like that as well. So whether it was his family or strangers, and being kind to them is either financially or physically and morally. So financially, you spend on those who cannot afford, who cannot earn. You are hospitable to the guests. And morally, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ. He would bear the burden of people. He would assist the people during the time of natural disasters and calamities and catastrophes. So this showed that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already, before receiving nubuwwat, had reached the pinnacle of akhlaq. So she tells him that you got nothing to worry and fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not humiliate or destroy you. And then she takes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her cousin Waraqa bin Nawfal. Waraqa bin Nawfal was an Arab who realized that the people in Arabia are doing wrong by ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by worshipping idols. So he وَكَانَ مْرَأَنْ تَنَصَّرَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. He had accepted the deen of Isa alayhi salam and he had become a Christian. which up to that time was the most legitimate religion. Isa alayhi salam was the last Nabi before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he had the knowledge of the Injil also and the Torah and the book of the Jews, the book of Musa alayhi salam. So because he was the most knowledgeable person she knew in Mecca and a holy person, she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to him to ask him to give some guidance as to explain what is the situation. Like that in our lives. When we are also in a state of confusion, something has happened, whether it be in my life or in my business or in the home or with the children, then we turn to not people of knowledge. We turn to those who are specialized in that field for support and for advice. So she took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Waraqa bin Nawfal. When Waraqa bin Nawfal heard this entire incident from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he assured him that this is actually the angel, Jibreel alayhi salam. The same angel that Allah sent to the Anbiya before, like Musa alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, Allah has sent to you. And then he tells him that I wish I was young, that I could have helped you and I could have assisted you. And I wish I was there to help you and assist you when the people of Makkah will drive you out of Makkah. They will take you out of Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was surprised. He was startled. He said, "Awa mukhrijiyahum? Are they going to take me out?" The Arabs were known for patriotism, tribalism. They used to favor each other. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was part of the Meccans. And he was already well respected in Makkah. So how is it that they are going to chase him out of Makkah? He could not understand. He was surprised. Waraqa bin Nawfal says, "Yes, lam ya'ti nabiyyun qattu bimithli ma ji'ta bihi illa udiya." Whenever any Nabi brought the message that you have been sent with now, whenever he brought such a message, then there were enemies that were created. And there were people who then became his enemies. In other words, the time is going to come where the people of Makkah will turn against you. And a time will come when they will drive you away. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَنْشَبْ وَرَقَةُ أَنْ تُوُفِّيَ. Waraqa bin Nawfal then passed away very quick thereafter. He didn't live very long. And وَفَتَرَ الْوَحْيُ. And the wahi then stopped for a while. So here, this was the incident of Bad'ul Wahi, how revelation started. This was the initial contact between the heavens and the earth now for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was perhaps the most significant incident, the most significant incident in the life of mankind. Because this was the beginning of the nubuwat, the official nubuwat of Sayyidul Anbiya, Khatamun Nabiyyin, the greatest of all Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. The being for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the entire universe. The being who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected as His most beloved. That who is the greatest mankind ever to be, the greatest of mankind ever to be created. This was that moment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so to say, announced to him that now you are my Nabi. You are selected for my mission. And he was selected as a Nabi for the entire mankind till Qiyamah. This happened more than 1450 years ago. More than 1450 years ago this happened. But he is our Nabi also. He is a Nabi till the day of Qiyamah for every single human on the face of the earth. That was the commencement of everything else. All our ibadat, our salat, our fasting, and our methods of fasting and salah, and zakat, and hajj and umrah, and going out in the path of Allah, and dhikr of Allah, tilawat of Quran, durood sharif, all the acts of ibadah, everything stemmed from that day. From that day. Prior to that day, none of this was in existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Quran, مَا كُنْتَ تَدْرِي مَا الْكِتَابُ وَلَا الْإِيمَانِ. Even you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you did not know what was the Quran. You did not know what was the haqiqat of iman until we selected you, until we sent wahi to you, until the Quran was then revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From that moment onwards, it spanned for the next 23 years. Bit by bit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down different verses of Quran. Until at the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during Hajjatul Wada, the final few months of his life, On the day of Arafat, on a Friday, Allah revealed the verse, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today I have completed for you your religion. I have perfected for you your religion. Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati. I have completed my favor upon you. Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islam Adina. And I have chosen for you all as your religion the Deen of Islam. It started with this incident in the cave of Hira, with Jibreel alayhi salam coming and the verses of Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi being revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gradually sent down the entire deen of Islam. From that day, from that moment, it began to flow and continue until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself then announced 23 years later that now your deen is perfect and complete. Your deen is perfect and complete. Therefore, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah chose to start his Bukhari Sharif with this chapter and with a hadith of this sort and this type to highlight to us that whatever is coming thereafter in the other chapters, the rest of our deen, then he quotes the chapter of Iman, the chapter of knowledge, the chapter of Taharat, the chapter of Salat, the chapter of Zakat, the chapter of Hajj and fasting, etc. All the rest of our deen is discussed thereafter, because it all stemmed from this incident, from this beginning, from this significant occurrence in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected friends and elders, if it wasn't like that, if it wasn't for that happening, then how would we have learned our iman? How would we have known the haqiqat of iman? How would we have learned our salah? How would we have known how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our entire deen and the formula for our success and the success of entire mankind, meaning our deen, all came from that platform, from that foundation, from that beginning that occurred 1450 some odd years ago, also according to some ulama, in the month of Ramadan. So respected friends and elders, we should remind ourselves that we are chosen from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be from the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to be from the ummatis of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are privileged to be part of the same ummah of that Nabi who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent wahi to like this and began sending wahi to in this manner, and Allah chose to be the greatest of all anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam. We are honored, respected friends and elders, but that if we are really feeling privileged for us to really demonstrate that we are proud to be the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we ought to be proud followers in every sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah has selected us, Allah has favored us, Allah has made us part of this ummah. Allah has made us the recipients of the same wahi, the same revelation that started with Iqra. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected this deen. That in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the revelation completed after 23 years. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then left the dunya. But the sahaba then bore this, the Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the understanding they acquired from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of deen, and then they passed it on to the tabi'un, their students. And the tabi'un passed it on to the tabi'ut tabi'un, their followers and their students. And like that, it continued to the fuqaha and the muhaddithun and the ulama from generation to generation to generation to this very day. Deen is still found. The knowledge of deen is protected in its pristine and pure form. So that any person, whoever he may be, if he wants to practice, he wants to know how to read his salah, it is recorded and protected and there for him. He wants to know how to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any condition. Guidance is found in the Quran, in the hadith, in the seerah and life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the knowledge of deen has been protected up to this day and age. It is for us now to take this. Take this and practice upon it. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah says, then we give you a chance also. Then you all become the successes on earth. In other words, there was a generation before us and a generation before them. Each generation are successes of the ones before. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ خَلَائِفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. So we can see how are you going to act. What is going to be your reaction? Is it just for information purposes? We sit in a bayan, we read some kitab or some article. Is it for information or for amal? لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. We want to inspect your amal, your physical and practical reaction to being exposed to the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. That would be when we would implement one sunnah in our lives. Fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On a night like tonight, respected friends and elders, let us inspect in our lives the commands of Allah. The greatest command is of salah. The most important command was salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after any person used to accept Islam at his hands, the next thing that he would teach that person was salah. Because that is the most important command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What percentage of the ummah is performing their 5 daily salat? How many of us sitting here today are performing our 5 daily salat, and ideally in jamaat in the masjid? If we are lacking, maybe we are managing to read 2 salats a day in the masjid, or we are managing to only read 4 salats a day and one namaz is becoming qaza, then let us make tawbah tonight and make that decision that, oh Allah, I want to bring my salat to perfection. I want to read all my salat. Imagine the most important command, if we have failed there, then what's to say about the rest of our deen? إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَتْ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ. If the salah is correct, if your salah is intact, then the rest of our deen also will fall into place. But if a person's salah is not protected, if he is discarding salat, then the rest of his deen also he will be discarding and he will be lacking. Let us highlight the sunnats in our lives. Which sunnah am I not practicing upon? And how can I inculcate that in our lives? For example, the sunnah of the beard of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a mubarak sunnah. This is a constant. This is a sunnah mustamirra. This was a sunnah that was always with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His beard was with him all the time. There are some sunnats that are practiced on particular occasions. The sunnah of the beard was in practice all the time. And a person who does not have a sunnah beard is actually violating the sunnah all the time. The sunnahs of eating, if a person does not practice on it, he will be violating the sunnah at that time, meals time. And thereafter there is other things he is engaging in. But the sunnah of the beard, whether he is sleeping, whether he is in salah, whether he is in his business place trying to earn a livelihood, if he does not have a sunnah beard, he has shaved his beard off, then this person is violating the sunnah all the time. So highlight this sunnah, for example, that I want to practice on this sunnah tonight. Tonight, make that intention, respected friends and elders, that I want to inculcate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and make a start by highlighting only one. One only. Let's make a start somewhere, but respected friends and elders. One command of Allah that I was lacking in, I want to include that. I'm making a firm pledge. The command of salah, I want to ensure that I'm going to be steadfast on salah. Somebody wants to is lacking in some other command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highlight that command and make a firm pledge and determination to now inculcate that command of Allah into our lives. Highlight one sunnah only, whether it's the sunnah of the beard, whether it's any other sunnah, but I want to inculcate one more sunnah. Start with one. Highlight one sin. Our lives are filled with so much of guna, so much of sin. Let's highlight one and say, this one here, this is the sin I can stop. Ideally is for a person obviously to shun all sins. On a night like tonight, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah to forgive all our sins. And beg Allah to give us the tawfiq to abstain from sinning after this. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha mentioned that she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in the night of Qadr, if she witnesses the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, what should she do? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her that seek forgiveness for your sins. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive. So forgive me. So when it comes to the commands of Allah, let us try and make that firm pledge to obviously inculcate all the commands of Allah in our lives. But highlight one and make a start with one. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our intention is to practice on all the sunnahs. But make a start and highlight one. When it comes to our sins, then instead of highlighting one sin, respected friends and elders, let us turn to Allah and ask Allah to forgive all our sins and make that firm pledge and intention never to go back to any sin. Not just one. When it comes to our sins, we should have the intention to wipe out and eradicate every sin from our lives. And making tawbah means regretting that why were we disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And beg Allah and make that firm intention that we will never go back to that sin. The sin of television, the sin of pornography, the sin of gambling, the sin of alcohol, the sin of drugs, the sin of riba, the sin of zina, the sin of lying, the sin of cheating, the sin of illicit relationships, the sin of unlawful contact with the opposite gender, the sin of pride, and all the other sins that we may be engaged in, make this firm pledge that I will not go back to any sin. Any one sin also I do not want to go back to, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. Allah Rabbul Izzah will definitely forgive that person who is regretful. And he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on nights like tonight, then respected friends, and Allah Rabbul Izzah is waiting to forgive us. We should never be despondent that how will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me? Na'uzu billah. No, no. No, Allah Rabbul Izzah is ghafoor. Allah is most forgiving. Allah is capable of forgiving a person no matter what the sin. Because Allah's rahmat and Allah's maghfirat is greater than that. Is much more than the sins that a person can ever manage to commit. So turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without delay. We do not know if we will even see the next moment. We do not know if we will see the next morning. Let us not delay and say, you know what, I'm not ready now for tawbah. No, respected friends and elders. Tawbah, the time for tawbah is now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us to take inspiration from this unique incident in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The bad'ul wahi, the commencement of revelation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and understand that that is where everything then came stemmed from. That is where everything thereafter came out from. From that initial beginning contact via Jibreel alayhi salam with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the revelation of these verses, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us thereafter to implement the entire deen and whatever came thereafter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanallah.